This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's a stand-up Fight Back Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I am not in the studio. As a matter of fact, Glenn, I'm on a rock off the coast of the U.S.
Yeah, well, this is Glenn Ayers, and I am still on the mainland.
And we trust you noticed all the standouts and demos there on the U.S. against MAGA and his malignancy of late. That kind of pushback is more... well, exactly what we need to save this nation from itself. We have a lot of that going on this week on this show. As always, we'll also bring you to meet this week's Fool on the Hill and those whose brains were small, as well as treat you to our Of the Week entries and more. But first, it's time for... Revenge of the Critters. Peggy Jones got the shock of her life in August of 23 when she was doing yard work on her property in Texas. All of a sudden, she saw something fall from the sky and hit her arm. As the object wrapped around her arm, she realized it was a snake. Jones screamed for her husband and began shaking her arm to remove the approximately 4.5-foot-long snake. But this only angered the creature, who tightened its grip and began striking at her face, hitting her glasses. The situation got even stranger in a matter of seconds when a brown and white hawk swooped down from overhead and joined the fray. The hawk had been flying overhead with the snake, its meal, in its talons and had inadvertently dropped it. It had now returned to claim its dinner. As the hawk attempted to grab the snake, its talons scratched Jones's arm, lifting it into the air. Eventually, the bird managed to uncoil the snake and fly off with it, leaving Jones slashed, punctured, and bruised. Her husband didn't see the attack, but soon heard his wife screaming and came to her aid, finding her arm covered in blood. He drove her to the hospital, but through her hysterics, it took quite a few minutes to explain the story, so he fully understood the unbelievable tale. When she arrived at the hospital, it was determined that the majority of the wounds were from the hawk, and she did not appear to have been bitten by the snake. She was successfully treated with antibiotics and wound care, though she has suffered mental effects from the attack, especially since she was previously bitten by a venomous snake 2 years prior. Revenge of the Critters, Glenn.
Wow, I do vaguely remember that previously. I'm sorry for any ongoing psychological damage that this encounter caused her, but, you know, from our perspective, it is a really good story of revenge of the critters.
And I guess in the hawk's perspective, he was, you know, getting revenge for stealing her, stealing its dinner.
Yeah, you know? So don't try to share a snake with a hawk. I think that's the message.
That's the message for sure. Okay, moving on, Fool on the Hill.
And nobody seems to like him, the fool on the hill.
This week's Fool on the Hill deserves our praise for making the job of reporting so effing easy. Republican Senator Jody Ernst, who recently angered constituents at a town hall meeting in Iowa, Senator dismisses Medicaid cuts killing people. Well, we're all going to die. Does it again, turning a non-apology into a twofer. It seems she took social media hellhole X with a, maybe church lady cosplay in a cemetery where Ernst, who is up for re-election in 26, says at the outset that she is sincerely sorry for her remarks on Friday It becomes clear the apology is nothing but a troll of her critics when she adds that she assumed everyone in the auditorium understood that, yes, we're all going to perish from this earth. So I apologize, said Ernst. And I'm really glad I did not have to bring up the subject of the Tooth Fairy as well. Boom. Hey, Iowa voters, remember this in 26.
Yeah, hopefully she is such a fool that they will tell her to take a hike. Unbelievable. Really? How anybody like that could, to begin with, get elected and then continue to be such an unbelievable idiot that they would say any of the stuff that she said. It just goes to show you the caliber of the people that are being elected, you know, and this goes all the way up to the top because, you know, like they say, the fish rots from the head first. And really, that's what we got, a lot of rot.
And she's truly smarmy. And I always think of people in Iowa being very conservative and yet quiet and well-mannered. I don't know that that went over well at all. Okay, let's move on to where their brains are small.
They were being dumb and slow.
They couldn't go with the flow.
Their brains were small and they died.
More MAGA cruelty coming in. Their brains were small and they died. This time it took almost the entire Republican House of Reprehensibles to display their lack of decency when the Mother Jones headline, when we read it, House GOPers just voted for the biggest Medicaid cuts in history after promising to protect it. Well, hopefully cooler heads in the Senate will pull the rug out from under these dinosaurs. Time will only tell. One thing's for sure, these MAGA evil clown show freaks will eventually rue the day they threw the old Republican Party into the chipper. That was the Republican Party. Speaking of, did you hear about the bromance between his malignancy and Elon? According to the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, quote, Elon is saying he will work to defeat Republicans who vote for this bill, close quote. Sadly, the committee is using this MAGA meltdown moment for yet another donation pitch, but we checked out some more. I'll read the rest that was in it. Quote, Elon Musk just called Trump's bill cutting taxes for billionaires a disgusting abomination. He's right. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson says Elon is mad because he wants more self-dealing giveaways for his car company. He's right. Marjorie Taylor Greene says the bill she voted for is bad for helping big tech stop states from regulating AI. She's right. Senate Republican budget hawks say Trump's bill would add trillions to the national debt. Yep. All those small brains eating their own. And if you've read the Truth Social / X war between Musk and the Mad King, you know, it only got worse from there. They're eating their own, Glenn.
Yeah, well, you know, what do you expect from a bunch of bozos? It's a three-ring circus with these two idiots really getting top billing for now. But there's so many of them with very, very small brains. It's really hard to figure out who to pick, but you named quite a few right in that last segment. Yep.
Right. Which is more evil clowns than you can fit in the clown car. How do they do it? Let's move on again. I think it's time for some double speak of the week.
You're saying it's a falsehood, and our press secretary, Sean Spicer, gave alternative facts.
Look, alternative facts are not facts. They're falsehoods.
So sticking with sickening, we find his malignancy's EPA coming up with some double speak of the week. Quote, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has drafted a plan to eliminate all limits on greenhouse gases from coal and gas-fired power plants in the United States. New York Times reported, citing internal documents, reports Reuters. The EPA argued in this new proposed regulation that carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases from power plants that burn fossil fuels, quote, do not contribute significantly to dangerous pollution, close quote, or to climate change, because they are small and declining share of global emissions, according to that New York Times report. All right, we call that just doublespeak.
Whew. Yeah, and you know, add to that the fact that for the first time now, China has reduced their greenhouse gas emissions by only 1%, but all the projections showed China increasing their net or overall greenhouse gas emissions until at least 2030. They were not going to peak in emissions until after 2030, but last year they actually reduced their overall emissions by 1%. And yet on a world level, emissions are going up. And when we have these kinds of policies being put in place by this fake administration in Washington that's trying to undo all the positive things that numerous previous presidents have done, especially the Biden administration, then we're going to see that level continue to increase, and we're going to blow past 2.0C rise in temperature. There was, for a while there, was an illusion that we were going to stay under 1.5 if we really tried hard. But now all of the indications are that we are going to go way past 2.0C and probably continue to rise. And when we have this kind of attitude that we just don't have to pay any attention to any more emissions, especially from coal and gas, which is the predominant energy source in the U.S., well, then we're on a real trajectory to lose most, if not all, of our coastal cities within the next couple of decades.
There it is. And speaking of the administration, shall we move on to the Mad King?
No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA. No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA.
And just to round out those we wish were thrown out, let's see what his malignancy, the Mad King, has been up to. First, in terms of pushback, this is the good news. Climate scientists are hosting a 100-hour YouTube live stream in response to his malignancy's research funding cuts. That's right, mild-mannered folks in coats. More than 200 climate and weather scientists from across the U.S. are planning to share their scientific work and answer questions from viewers in a grand total of 100 hours over the course of 5 days. The event is nonpartisan and aims to prove the value of climate science in light of the administration's funding cuts to organizations like NASA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the U.S. Geological Survey, and the National Science Foundation. Well, kudos to all there. Oh, here's a header that needs no further explanation, but it's just another surreal example of the Mad King's failings. He could, quote, get Fox News-style intel briefing because he doesn't read. Go to the blog, click on the link for that one. Get Fox News-style intel briefings because he can't read. Or he doesn't read. Okay, on to disturbing news. So stunning, we are temporarily breaking our he whose name shall not be spoken rule. The New Republic did a feature titled Trump Taps Palantir to Create Master Database on Every American. Trump's dystopian plan is already underway. Close quote. Of course, most of us assumed this was the Doge game plan and knew well his malignancy's et al. Game for fascist wet dream, but to see it spelled out in a banner headline was, well, a shocker. The piece goes on. New York Times reports that Trump has enlisted the firm founded by far-right billionaire Peter Thiel to carry out his March executive order instructing government agencies to share data with each other. The order has increased fears that the government is putting together a database to wield surveillance powers over the entire American public. I did a little editorializing there. So given that the evil scheme is still at work, but it's still a work in progress, we all have time for some truly serious pushback, something far more powerful and all-encompassing than we've seen so far. Sadly, some Dems in leadership positions seem clueless about the dangers. Quote, 2 weeks after declaring that Trump administration's arrest of members of Democratic members of Congress would be a red line, the top-ranking Democrat in the U.S. House this week was signaling no concrete plan to take action over the Justice Department's charging a congresswoman and federal agents detaining a Capitol Hill aide. Ooh, go to blog, click on the link for that one. And he also, on the blog, you might want to register your opposition to his malignancy's cruelty. It's all there. EnviroShow, about the W.blogspot.com. All right. Time to move on to Critter of the Week.
We all around a month. We all around a month.
Let's brighten it up with our Critter of the Week. What do you say? Did you notice that some dragonflies are back in season? We did at our place. These guys are amazing in so many ways, but most notably in their ability to turn on a dime in pursuit of mosquitoes and other flying insects. Us humans owe them a debt of gratitude for ridding us of many disease-carrying mosquitoes. That said, many of the dragonflies themselves are at risk. Go to blog, click on that link. So-called insectageddon is a very real threat, not just to the critters, but to us humans who rely on beneficial insects. The good news is there are steps you can take to help dragonflies in your own neighborhood. So check out the PDF, go to the blog, click on that link. Okay, we endeavor to look for more upbeat stories on the show, but unfortunately, given the reality of the war on nature, we keep coming up with more bad news, like these in our EnviroShow echo chamber. Not sure which to start with, the micro or the macro. Let's go with a small story of local outrage, even though it's an example of a far-reaching human disregard. Here's the headline from New York Times. Downtown LA has seen its share of violence. Then someone went after its trees. Close quote. So we'll spare you the gruesome details, but the lone actions of one disturbed individual is summed up in a story with this telling quote. Even after the arrest, the experience has been unnerving for many. What could be a tree today could be a person tomorrow. Okay, on to the macro. It turns out trees are under more of a threat than we knew. Some species are going extinct. Go blog, click on that link. All the more reason to, hashtag end logging on public land. We've run out of segments to reveal just how awful Elon actually is, but this video on our blog, if you go to blog and click on that, may best describe the living, breathing monster that Bill Gates ID'd as the richest man in the world, killing the poorest people in the world. It's not hyperbole. And this, another gift to the takers from the high court, quote, in a case called Seven County Infrastructure Coalition versus Eagle County, the Supreme Court undermined the principle that the government must consider practical environmental harms before approving big projects. So there's that. And we close on some good activist news. Wildlife for All has come to our attention, and they do some good works. Go to blog, click on the link. Learn about Wildlife for All. Okay. Oh, it's time for the climate crisis.
We're on the planet that has a problem. We've got to solve it, get involved, and do it now, now, now. We need to build a better future. And we need to start right now.
Okay, all this doom and gloom, and still it's the climate crisis, stupid, that, and the present occupants in the White House making it worse. Quote, under the administration, the EPA has canceled or interrupted hundreds of grants aimed at improving health and severe weather preparedness because the agency determined that the grant applications no longer support administration priorities, according to an emailed statement to Grist. That we know what those priorities are, and we call BS. Oh, speaking of BS, how about this? Quote, the U.S. government stole the Black Hills. Now it's clear-cutting them. Most quote. Grist's piece goes on to say an executive order on March 1st ordered immediate expansion of timber production, and most recently in April came an emergency directive from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to fast-track logging on nearly 60% of the Black Hills. The directive also conflicts with a memorandum of understanding signed here just last year, click on that link, between the Forest Service and eight tribal nations, which called for cooperative planning on forest management on issues ranging from climate protection and remediation to workforce development and the protection of cultural resources and sacred sites. Whew. Finally, this, the new podcast, Sabotage, raises a key question. Are radical climate activists really that radical? After all, suffragettes actually slashed famous paintings and sunflowers, despite all the uproar over the soup incident, still sits untarnished in the National Gallery. All kinds of people have gotten arrested in order to bring attention to climate change, as the podcast documents, including climate scientists and a doctor motivated by how a warmer world spreads infectious diseases. If you take a clear-eyed look at what climate change means for life on this planet, the podcast folks Ram and Upman ask, what's the sane thing to do? Okay, that's interesting. I'm going to check that podcast out. And that brings us to the quote of the week. Okay, time to pass on our Enviro Show quote of the week. And this is fitting for this particular show. The ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people. And that, of course, is Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, that is a good one, because that's where we're at right now, is that they're really relying on apathy and silence and people just throwing up their hands in despair. But that's the opposite of what we need to be doing right now. Resistance is really key, and refusal and organizing is what we need. And I think at the heart of this, what we've been talking about really comes down to the fact that we failed. We failed to put his malignancy in prison for the rest of his life, when we had the opportunity after he fomented an insurrection on January 6th. And he should have been held responsible for that event. He should have died in prison. I would assume that if he had been properly charged and found guilty by his peers, he probably would have perished by now in prison, considering he's an old, unhealthy, you know, very mentally disturbed person. But anyway, that's what we're dealing with right now, is the fact that we did not stick his malignancy into a jail cell for the remainder of his life.
We've been undoing all the environmental improvements, if you will, since the frigging Nixon administration. They're just tearing it apart down there.
And not only environmental, but also civil rights and a lot of other things. You know, this is really rolling back to things prior to the New Deal. I mean, that's, they're trying to get rid of healthcare. They're trying to get rid of all environmental regulations, all constraints. It even goes back to Teddy Roosevelt and the constraints on corporate power.
Even Social Security. Whoever thought they'd go after Social Security?
I want to go in and listen to Governor Gavin Newsom.
What's happening right now is very different than anything we've seen before. On Saturday morning, when federal agents jumped out of an unmarked van near a Home Depot parking lot, they began grabbing people, a deliberate targeting of a heavily Latino suburb. A similar scene played out when a clothing company was raided downtown. In other actions, a U.S. citizen, 9 months pregnant, was arrested. A 4-year-old girl taken, families separated, friends quite literally disappearing. In response, everyday Angelenos came out to exercise their constitutional right to free speech and assembly, to protest their government's actions. In turn, the state of California and the city and county of Los Angeles sent our police officers to help keep the peace. And with some exceptions, they were successful. Like many states, California is no stranger to this sort of unrest. We manage it regularly and with our own law enforcement. But this, again, was different. What then ensued was the use of tear gas, flashbang grenades, rubber bullets, federal agents detaining people and undermining their due process rights. Donald Trump, without consulting California law enforcement leaders, commandeered 2,000 of our state's National Guard members to deploy on our streets, illegally and for no reason. This brazen abuse of power by a sitting president inflamed a combustible situation, putting our people, our officers, and even our National Guard at risk. That's when the downward spiral began. He doubled down on his dangerous National Guard deployment by fanning the flames even harder. And the president, he did it on purpose. As the news spread throughout LA, anxiety for family and friends ramped up. Protests started again. By night, several dozen lawbreakers became violent and destructive. They vandalized property. They tried to assault police officers. Many of you have seen the video clips of cars burning on cable news. If you incite violence, I want to be clear about this. If you incite violence or destroy our communities, you're going to be held to account. That kind of criminal behavior will not be tolerated, full stop. Already more than 220 people have been arrested, and we're reviewing tapes to build additional cases, and people will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Again, thanks to our law enforcement officers and the majority of Angelenos who protested peacefully, the situation was winding down and was concentrated in just a few square blocks downtown. But that's not what Donald Trump wanted. He again chose escalation. He chose more force. He chose theatrics over public safety. He federalized another 2,000 Guard members. He deployed more than 700 active U.S. Marines. These are the men and women trained for foreign combat, not domestic law enforcement. We honor their service. We honor their bravery. But we do not want our streets militarized by our own armed forces, not in LA, not in California, not anywhere. We're seeing unmarked cars in school parking lots, kids afraid of attending their own graduation. Trump is pulling a military dragnet all across Los Angeles, well beyond his stated intent to just go after violent and serious criminals. His agents are arresting dishwashers, gardeners, day laborers, and seamstresses. That's just weakness, weakness masquerading as strength. Donald Trump's government isn't protecting our communities. They're traumatizing our communities. And that seems to be the entire point. California will keep fighting. We'll keep fighting on behalf of our people, all of our people, including in the courts. Just yesterday, we filed a legal challenge to Donald Trump's reckless deployment of American troops to a major American city. Today, we sought an emergency court order to stop the use of the American military to engage in law enforcement activities across Los Angeles. If some of us could be snatched off the streets without a warrant, based only on suspicion or skin color, then none of us are safe. Authoritarian regimes begin by targeting people who are least able to defend themselves, but they do not
stop there. Trump and his loyalists, they thrive on division because it allows them to take more power and exert even more control. And by the way, Trump, he's not opposed to lawlessness and violence as long as it serves him. What more evidence do we need than January 6th? Ask everyone. Take time. Reflect on this perilous moment. A president who wants to be bound by no law or constitution, perpetuating a unified assault on American traditions. This is a president who in just over 140 days has fired government watchdogs that could hold him accountable for corruption and fraud. He's declared a war on culture, on history, on science, on knowledge itself. Databases quite literally are vanishing. He's delegitimizing news organizations and he's assaulting the First Amendment. And the threat of defunding them, at threat, he's dictating what universities themselves can teach. He's targeting law firms and the judicial branch that are the foundations of an orderly and civil society. He's calling for a sitting governor to be arrested for no other reason than to, in his own words, for getting elected. And we all know this Saturday, he's ordering our American heroes, the United States military, and forcing them to put on a vulgar display to celebrate his birthday, just as other failed dictators have done in the past. Look, this isn't just about protests here in Los Angeles. When Donald Trump sought blanket authority to commandeer the National Guard, he made that order apply to every state in this nation. This is about all of us. This is about you. California may be first, but it clearly will not end here. Other states are next. Democracy is next. Democracy is under assault before our eyes. This moment we have feared has arrived. He's taking a wrecking ball to our founding fathers' historic project. Three co-equal branches of independent government. There are no longer any checks and balances. Congress is nowhere to be found. Speaker Johnson has completely abdicated that responsibility. The rule of law has increasingly been given way to the rule of Don. The founding fathers, they didn't live and die to see this kind of moment. It's time for all of us to stand up. Justice Brandeis, he said it best. In a democracy, the most important office, with all due respect, Mr. President, is not the presidency, and it's certainly not governor. The most important office is office of citizen. At this moment, we all need to stand up and be held to account, a higher level of accountability. If you exercise your First Amendment rights, please, please do it peacefully. I know many of you are feeling deep anxiety, stress, and fear, but I want you to know that you are the antidote to that fear and that anxiety. What Donald Trump wants most is your fealty, your silence to be complicit in this moment. Do not give in to him.
That was a blistering speech there from the California Governor Gavin Newsom, responding after days of back and forth between his state and Los Angeles specifically and the White House and President Trump, including comments that the president has made saying that if he was his border czar, he would have Governor Newsom arrested, something that the governor there invoked as he was essentially referencing not only what we've been seeing play out in Los Angeles, which he was plenty critical of, including Trump bypassing the governor there to deploy the National Guard, also sending hundreds of Marines to Los Angeles. He also invoked the fact that he had implied having him arrested, the president's upcoming military parade that he's having here in Washington, his fight with Harvard. And he warned other states in that speech that, quote, other states are next. He said that Donald Trump is not opposed to lawlessness, and he invoked what happened on January 6th.
Yeah. So what's the answer? The answer is really resistance and activism. And I think that word sabotage is an important one for people to talk about, because it probably is going to take a lot of direct action and a lot of, well, they've crossed the line in so many ways. So I think people are going to have to start making it clear that they're mad as hell and not going to take any more.
Exactly. And we have a bus stop billboard just filled with actions that are being taken. Well, here in Massachusetts, and these same actions are going on all over the nation, It's well documented by Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. Their actions almost daily. We have repeat actions at the top of our blog that you can tap into, standouts on bridges and street corners and all sorts of events that are people rising up to stop the madness. All right. I guess that's it about this show.
Yeah, just one more thing. And that's to remember.
Oh, yeah. Listen to your mother, folks. This is Theo saying adios.
And I'm Glenn Ayers. Remember, resist much and obey little. Take care.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.